is Democracy Now!
I'm now in a camp for Afghan refugees outside of Kerman in the center of Iran. There are now more and more people coming from Afghanistan. 3,000 to 5,000 people come every single day. 300,000 since the Taliban takeover at the end of August. So it is urgent to give more support to Iran.
Afghanistan is facing the world's worst humanitarian crisis as millions face starvation with the winter months quickly approaching. We'll speak to Jan Egeland of the Norwegian Refugee Council. He's just back from visiting an Afghan refugee camp in Iran. We'll also talk to him about the refugees stranded on the Belarus-Poland border. Then we look at U.S.-China relations and the Biden-Xi virtual summit last night. We'll speak to historian Alfred McCoy. His new book is out today, To Govern the Globe, World Orders and Catastrophic Change.
By 2030, the world is going to witness an historic transition from U.S. power to Chinese hegemony. For the past 70 years, the world has been ruled by the United States as the most powerful empire in the history of the world. Well, by 2030, China's economy is going to be at least 50% larger than the U.S. economy. Its military is going to be expanding. It's going to be, in many areas, the equal of the U.S. military. And if conflict comes, if a war comes, it's going to come over Taiwan.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Biden signed the $1.2 trillion Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, legislation hailed by the White House as the largest ever federal investment in U.S. bridges, drinking water, passenger rail and public transit. Biden signed the bipartisan bill Monday on the South Lawn of the White House, surrounded by lawmakers from both major parties.
The bill I'm about to sign a law as proof that despite the cynics, Democrats and Republicans can come together and deliver results. We can do this.
Progressive lawmakers are demanding Congress swiftly pass an even larger piece of legislation, the 10-year, $1.75 trillion Build Back Better Act to fund social safety net programs and combat the climate crisis. All 50 Republican senators oppose the legislation, meaning it needs the support of conservative Democrats to pass. Last week, West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin cast new doubt on the bill's fate after he said he would oppose tax incentives for electric vehicles produced by union workers. Manchin has also refused to say if he'll back President Biden's pledge at the COP26 climate summit to slash methane emissions by 30% this decade. Biden's proposed a tax on methane as part of the reconciliation package. President Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping spoke for 3.5 hours in a virtual summit Monday night. Topics discussed included Taiwan, human rights and trade policies. During the summit, Xi warned Biden supporting Taiwanese independence would be, quote, playing with fire. He also criticized the U.S. for building new alliances in the Pacific region to counter China's rise. Xi said dividing the world into blocks would, quote, inevitably bring disaster to the world. Biden called on the two nations to develop, quote, guardrails to help avoid possible disagreements from spiraling into conflict.
It seems to me our responsibility as leaders of China and the United States is to ensure that the competition between our countries does not veer into conflict, whether intended or unintended. Just simple, straightforward competition.
We'll have more on the summit later in the broadcast. In Uganda, police say at least 3 people were killed, nearly 3 dozen others injured Tuesday after a pair of suicide bomb attacks rocked the capital city, Kampala. One of the blasts struck near Uganda's parliament. Another went off near Kampala's central police station. There was no immediate claim of responsibility. The Islamic State claimed attacks in Uganda last month that killed civilians, including children. Spanish Coast Guard sailors on Monday rescued 36 refugees in waters near the Canary Islands and recovered the bodies of 2 others who died during the crossing. 5 people with hypothermia were airlifted to a nearby hospital in critical condition. Spain says nearly 17,000 people have made the dangerous journey to the Canary Islands from Morocco or occupied Western Sahara this year, more than double the number who attempted the crossing during the same period last year. In eastern Poland, border guards fired tear gas and water cannons Tuesday at hundreds of asylum seekers who tried to push their way through a razor wire barrier erected along the Poland-Belarus border. Some of the refugees responded by throwing sticks, stones and bottles at soldiers in riot gear. Many of the migrants have spent weeks enduring freezing temperatures and squalid camps hoping to reach the European Union to apply for asylum. On Monday, the EU threatened new sanctions against Belarus, accusing it of encouraging migrants to cross into Poland in retaliation for earlier sanctions imposed after Belarus cracked down on pro-democracy protests. We'll have more on this story with Jan Egeland of the Norwegian Refugee Council. In Thailand, thousands of people took to the streets of Bangkok Sunday in defiance of a ban on protests after a court ruled calls to reform the Thai monarchy amounted to attempts to overthrow the king. Since 2020, more than 150 people have been charged under a Thai law allowing prison terms of up to 15 years for anyone convicted of defaming Thailand's monarchs. This is one of the protesters.
The word reform is not equivalent to abolition. Authorities want to do only the things they desire and see people with opposing views as the bad guys, so they think that we're trying to topple them. If society continues like this, how could we move forward?
The United States has sharply condemned Russia over what it said was an anti-satellite missile test carried out Monday. State Department spokesperson Ned Price said the missile targeted one of Russia's own satellites. He said the resulting explosion created more than 1,500 pieces of orbital debris large enough to track, plus hundreds of thousands of smaller objects that pose a risk to satellites and astronauts.
Russia's dangerous and irresponsible behavior jeopardizes the long-term sustainability of outer space and clearly demonstrates that Russia's claims of opposing the weaponization of space are disingenuous and hypocritical.
This comes as the U.S., Russia, and China continue to test new hypersonic missiles capable of flying through low Earth orbit to deliver nuclear warheads. President Biden Monday proposed a 20-year ban on oil and gas drilling in and around Chaco Canyon, a site of ancestral significance to indigenous people. The valley in the high desert of northwest New Mexico was at the center of Chacoan culture for about 400 years, beginning in the 9th century. Interior Secretary Deb Haaland, who this year became the first ever Native American U.S. Cabinet Secretary, praised the drilling ban. She added, quote, "Now is the time to consider more enduring protections for the living landscape that is Chaco, so that we can pass on this rich cultural legacy to future generations." Deb Haaland used to be the Congress member from New Mexico. Vermont Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy announced Monday he will retire when his term ends in 2022. Leahy is 81 years old, chair of the powerful Senate Appropriations Committee, and is the longest-serving senator currently in office. In Texas, Beto O'Rourke said Monday he's running for the Democratic gubernatorial nomination and hopes to unseat incumbent Republican Governor Greg Abbott in 2022. O'Rourke became a high-profile Democratic presidential candidate after he narrowly lost his bid to unseat Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz in 2018. Meanwhile, an analysis of heavily gerrymandered congressional maps proposed by Republican state legislatures since the 2020 census shows redistricting alone is on pace to give Republicans a House majority in the midterm elections. Former Trump advisor Steve Bannon turned himself in to the FBI on Monday after being indicted for 2 counts of contempt of Congress for refusing to comply with a subpoena from the House committee investigating the January 6th insurrection. Bannon was later released. He's scheduled to be arraigned on Thursday. In Wyoming, the state Republican Party has voted to stop recognizing Congressmember Liz Cheney as a party member due to her vote to impeach Donald Trump for inciting the Capitol insurrection. A spokesperson for Cheney responded by saying it was sad that leaders in the Wyoming Republican Party have, quote, allowed themselves to be held hostage to the lies of a dangerous and irrational man, they said. In other Trump news, the Wall Street Journal reports a Miami investment fund is preparing to purchase the Trump International Hotel in Washington, D.C. for $375 million and will turn the property into a Waldorf Astoria hotel while removing the Trump name. In labor news, unions representing more than 30,000 Kaiser Permanente healthcare workers on the West Coast and Hawaii called off a strike Monday after winning a tentative contract that boosts wages and sets limits on nurse-to-patient ratios. Union negotiators also beat back a proposal by Kaiser managers to create a two-tiered wage structure that would have seen new hires paid significantly less. Meanwhile, the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, IATSE, voted narrowly Monday to approve new film and TV contracts, ending a struggle that nearly saw 60,000 workers strike last month to demand higher pay, guaranteed breaks, and better benefits. A narrow majority of IATSE members actually voted down the larger of the two contracts, but the deal was still ratified after it gained a majority of votes under the union's Electoral College-style voting system. In Kenosha, Wisconsin, jury deliberations begin today in the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse, the white teenage gunman who fatally shot two people and wounded a third during protests over the police shooting of Jacob Blake in 2020. Rittenhouse faces five felony charges, including first-degree intentional homicide. On Monday, the judge dropped a sixth charge for unlawful weapon possession. During closing arguments, Assistant District Attorney Thomas Binger urged jurors to convict Rittenhouse.
There is no doubt in this case that the defendant committed these crimes. He committed a first-degree reckless homicide against Joseph Rosenbaum. He put Richie McGinnis's life in jeopardy. He put Jumpkick Man's life in jeopardy. He intended to kill Anthony Huber, and he attempted to kill Gage Grosskreutz. All of those elements are true.
During his closing arguments, defense attorney Mark Richards maintained Kyle Rittenhouse had acted in self-defense.
Kyle shot Joseph Rosenbaum to stop a threat to his person. And I'm glad he shot him, because if Joseph Rosenbaum had got that gun, I don't for a minute believe he wouldn't have used it against somebody else. He was irrational and crazy.
As the jury begins deliberations, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has put 500 National Guard troops on standby ahead of a verdict. Meanwhile, in Georgia, the trial is continuing for the three white men who hunted down and shot dead Ahmaud Arbery, a black jogger. On Monday, Judge Timothy Walmsley rejected a request from defense attorneys to declare a mistrial. The judge also said it was, quote, reprehensible for the defense to object to allowing black pastors sit with Arbery's family in the courtroom. Last week, defense attorney Kevin Goff said, quote, we don't want any more black pastors coming in here. He cited the presence of the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who hadn't actually attended the trial. On Monday, Reverend Jackson traveled to Georgia to sit with the Arbery family, prompting his remarks from attorney Kevin Goff.
Your Honor, I would submit, with all respect to the Reverend Jesse Jackson, that this is no different than bringing in police officers or uniformed prison guards in a small town where a young black man has been accused of assaulting a law enforcement officer or corrections officer.
And students at Howard University have reached a deal that'll bring an end to the protest at one of the nation's preeminent, historically black universities. Since October 12th, students have been occupying Howard's Blackburn University Center to demand better campus housing amid reports of toxic mold, pests, and crumbling infrastructure in campus dorms. The students were also demanding better representation and more transparency from Howard administrators. An attorney for the students said while details of the agreement remain confidential, protesters largely accomplished their objectives. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. When we come back, Afghanistan is facing the world's worst humanitarian crisis as millions face starvation with the winter months quickly approaching. We'll speak to Jan Egeland of the Norwegian Refugee Council, just back from visiting an Afghan refugee camp in Iran. Stay with us.
We've never met. And to be honest, we probably never will. That's not really important. But there are probably people out there who are important to you, who are reluctant to get the COVID-19 vaccine for themselves and for their children. We all have our reasons. But if we take the time to listen to others, we can help reassure and support them. And that's really important.
The first step to understanding is listening. If you have questions about the vaccines, visit quebec.ca/vaccine talk. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday, we'll have mixed precipitation and a high of 3 degrees Celsius. Thursday, there will be rain and a high of 10 degrees Celsius. Friday, we'll have a mix of sun and clouds and a high of 5 degrees Celsius. Saturday will be cloudy with sunny breaks and a high of 2 degrees Celsius. Sunday will be mainly cloudy with a high of 5 degrees Celsius. Monday, there will be rain and a high of 8 degrees Celsius. Finally, Tuesday, there will be rain with a high of 9 degrees Celsius.
Button on the speed dial, calling friends at the starting line of un tour comme Picaboo. Je suis vraiment à l'envers, c'est un déjà vu. Mon A-game restera toujours au rendez-vous. Je suis seulement le farceur sans dessus dessous. La vie peut jouer un tour comme Picaboo. Je suis vraiment à l'envers, c'est un déjà vu. Mon A-game restera toujours au rendez-vous. Je suis seulement le farceur sans dessus dessous. Coucou, c'est encore mon œil qui efface. Trop d'orgueil, plus je m'en bats les couilles si je vais rap. Sont voltés comme un Black Friday au Toys R Us. En place avec les Hendrick Boys 7-Up. Chaque jour, je me comblesse pour sa vie que je mène. Tous les jours, je me démène pour l'avenir de mien. Drop top sur la 1 California Dreamin'. Je reviens sur la flèche et là que j'appartiens. La vie peut jouer un tour comme Peekaboo. Je suis vraiment à l'envers, c'est un déjà vu. Game restera toujours au rendez-vous. Je suis seulement le farceur sans dessus dessous. La vie peut jouer un tour comme Peekaboo. Je suis vraiment à l'envers, c'est un déjà vu. Mon game restera toujours au rendez-vous. Je suis seulement le farceur sans dessus dessous. Je ne dors jamais, je rêve toujours. On implore mes joies sans cesse passer mon tour. À qui la chance, à quel ego? Profite de chaque moment qui défile au chrono. J'allume le heat avec le journal. Slice tous les haters comme un samouraï. UFO Jurassic, c'est paranormal. Je vous tolère déjà plus, c'est devenu insoutenable. La vie peut jouer un tour comme Peekaboo. Je fais vraiment à l'envers, c'est un déjà vu. Mon A-game restera toujours au rendez-vous. Je suis seulement le farceur sans dessus dessous. La vie peut jouer un tour comme Peekaboo. Je fais vraiment à l'envers, c'est un déjà vu. Mon A-game restera toujours au rendez-vous. Je suis seulement le farceur sans dessus dessous.
Numbers pushing me backwards and forwards. No, I know. You're tuned in to the Wednesday Morning After Show with your host, Sheila Ferrando, and editing by me, Nadine Scott, on Radio CKUT 90.3 FM Montreal or online at ckut.ca.
The burning sensation of spicy food shouldn't be enjoyable, yet people all around the world go crazy for chilies. This episode of In the Shower asks, what makes food spicy?
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
Hello, lovely listener, and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized, informative podcast that aims to answer the mysteries of the world.
Have you ever wondered why we carve pumpkins at Halloween?
Or what hiccups are.
Or why we kiss.
Or if superpowers exist.
If you've ever wondered about questions like this, or loads and loads more, you've come to the right place.
Step into the shower with us as we answer another mystery question.
What's our question this week, Taz?
What makes food spicy?
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
I feel like this episode is going to cause some tension between us, Taz.
Why do you say that?
Well, you know, like my spice tolerance... Like, I live for spicy food.
Right, yeah.
Whereas you don't as much. You know, you're not really, really a chili head.
See, I think my spice levels are absolutely fine and normal. I am a spice girl, if you want to be my
lover.
Are you
a spice girl? What spice girl would you be if you were a spice... Like, you know, there was Sporty Spice and Scary Spice. What would you be?
Do you know what? I don't really know the Spice Girls that well.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know them?
Not personally.
I know, but
no, I haven't been hanging out with them, but they were very much part of my youth, yeah.
Who would I be?
I think you would be a combination of Scary and Baby Spice.
Oh, I'm a combination of the spices.
Because, you know,
I'm a spice bag.
You're a spice bag.
But I do, in fact, think that my spice levels are completely fine and normal. And you're just a lunatic who enjoys putting himself in situations where you're left sweating after a meal. That's just ridiculous.
It's true. Do you know what? I've been addicted to spice, like properly addicted to spice from a young age. Like if there's a spicy thing on a menu, I will order it. And I think like it always started, my dad used to put hot sauce on everything and I kind of picked
Tabasco,
it up.
Was it?
Oh, he loves his Tabasco. Dad, if you're listening, shout out to Tabasco. But yeah, on everything. Like, and since then I've always had a bottle of hot sauce handy. Not like on me. Like, yeah. I don't have, like, you
like
know.
Like a little secret, like attached to your keys, a little key ring of hot sauce for, like, all occasions.
You can actually get those.
Can you really?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually might get one.
Have a hot sauce at the ready, imagine.
But imagine it burst in your pocket, and then you just have a spicy pocket.
Oh, that would not be good. And if that, if the,
yeah,
if
listen,
Have you actually ever stopped to think what actually makes it spicy, though? Like, what, like, it's weird, isn't it?
Well, anybody who knows me personally would definitely call me a proper food nerd. Like, yeah. I'm really, really into food and I love knowing this stuff. And I thought that I knew the answer, but I actually looked into it a bit deeper and it's really, really interesting.
Okay, so first off, before we kind of go into that, is there a reason why people actually enjoy eating chilies? I mean, they undeniably hurt like hell, both going in and coming out.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they really, do they offer any sort of nutritional benefit?
Right, so while chilies don't have a whole lot to offer in terms of nutrition, they have a lot of vitamin C, and that's kind of it. A couple of other things, but fairly negligible. A lot of experts believe that they're really good for us, and that spicing up your life, another little Spice Girls reference there, is a surefire way to be healthier and happier. Eating hot foods can lower blood pressure.
Ah.
It can release a load of serotonin and dopamine and actually like improve your mood. It can aid digestion because it makes you salivate more. And even can have antimicrobial properties, which is why you see a lot of foods being preserved with chilies in hotter countries.
What's antimicrobial?
Antimicrobial is basically microbes which will spoil food and get destroyed by chilies. And it's actually, they did this study, which is really interesting, that chilies that are grown in areas of the world that have a higher insect population are spicier because it's the spice that kills the microbes, because insects would typically, you know, like bore a little hole in the wall of the chili.
Right.
And that will allow fungus or microbes to get in.
Yeah.
So the actual heat of the chili kills it.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah. So say like a food like, you know, Calabrian andouille, like that spicy spreadable salami from Italy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's preserved with chilies because the chilies kill the microbes and allow it to cure.
What? That's incredible.
Yeah, really, really interesting. There's lots of other food like that.
But is the effect actually that noticeable?
Which, like the kind of the beneficial effect?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, there are a few arguments about this. And the one that stood out to me and actually made a lot of sense was by a Dr. Paul Rosen from the University of Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Penn State.
Penn State. But he claims that the reasons I listed above are too negligible to actually count towards anything, and that we actually eat chilies because we love self-inflicting pain.
What?
Yeah.
It's kind of a bit kinky, isn't it? 50 Shades of Chile.
So, yeah, he calls it, like, masochism is kind of a love for self-pain, you know, so like...
Do you know what? So listeners, I have a diary where I keep a word of the week or sometimes a word of the day. And my word of the week 2 weeks ago was masochistic.
There you go. Masochism, yeah. Opposite of which is sadism, named after the Marquis de Sade, who apparently he liked torturing people sexually and developed sadism, which is very interesting. But he calls it benign masochism. So it's like not intentional self-harm, like say, oh my God, like, you know, punching yourself in the face or anything.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of an example there. But he tested chili eaters by gradually increasing the pain of chilies, or as the pros call it, the pungency of the food, right?
Pungency.
Right up to the point where the subjects said they could not go any further. Then when asked after the test what level of heat they liked the best, they pretty much all chose the highest level that they could stand. Just below.
Interesting.
Yeah, really interesting. Just below the level of unbearable pain. As Delbert McClinton sings about a different line of research, it felt so good to hurt so bad.
So far in this episode, we've learned that chilies can lower your blood pressure and that a lot of people eat them because, for whatever reason, they like the way it hurts. But are we actually any closer to finding out, like, what makes the hurt? What makes it spicy? How does it work inside your body?
Okay, so let me start the explanation by saying that the word hot in relation to spicy food is kind of a misdemeanor, right?
Okay.
Hot is a measurement of temperature, as we know, and like a room temperature chili pepper will still feel like you've just put hot coals in your mouth.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
And will make you sweaty and crave ice or water or anything like that. And that's because the feeling of spicy food isn't actually a taste, like salty,
it's
bitter.
It's not a taste.
No, like, you know, you have salty, bitter, sweet, sour, or umami. But it's actually kind of an accidental nerve response caused by the compound that makes spicy food spicy, which is called capsaicin.
Capsaicin?
Capsaicin, yeah. So capsaicin is responsible for the feeling of burning in food, and it's measured on the Scoville scale, which is named after a scientist called Wilbur Scoville. Food with a higher Scoville rating are spicier.
So where does it start?
Generally, the Scoville scale starts with a green bell pepper, which typically has zero Scovilles. And in the natural world, goes up to about 3.2 million Scovilles.
What?
Yeah, so specifically grown peppers like the Carolina Reaper, which I've eaten, and it wasn't a pleasant experience, or the Naga Marich, which is the current hottest pepper in the world. To give a bit of a context to the latter, they are about half as spicy as police-grade pepper spray.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, there's chili...
And like, is this... Who gets to rate the Scovilles?
So what they do is they dissolve the capsaicin content in alcohol and then distill it in a sugar solution. And you can tell how many million Scoville units. It's done per million Scoville units.
So it's not a taste test.
No, it's not a taste test. Yeah. It actually originally was. Yeah. But they found that it was too subjective.
Yeah, of course.
And that the tolerance of the tester would vary so much. Like, there isn't just a standardized spice level with people.
But come here, so it's actually half as spicy as police grade pepper scrubs.
Yeah,
that's insane.
It's insane that this is a naturally occurring pepper.
So if you're getting attacked and you happen to have a few of these in your pocket for some reason, you can use them in self-defense.
Can you imagine somebody's trying to mug you and you literally just whip out a handful of chilies and lash them? It's like, do you remember in King of the Hill, like pocket sand, you could just have pocket chilies. But yeah, they're very, 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 very spicy. I'd say, like, in terms of pepper spray, you wouldn't want these peppers anywhere near your eyes or any other of your sensitive areas.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah, it's happened to me, and I'm sure it's happened to a few listeners, and I hope I'm not giving anyone PTSD. But like, you know, you're cooking with chilies, and then you run to the loo, and oh, I wouldn't wish it on anyone.
No. So capsaicin is what makes food spicy.
Yeah, capsaicin is what makes spicy food spicy. But why is actually fascinating. I originally thought there was a defense mechanism or that it was like, you know, just a taste.
Because
it's actually,
in a lot of our episodes, it always kind of, we always go to like the evolution and like where it actually came from.
Yeah, and there are theories of, as I said earlier, you know, like places with a higher concentration of insects, capsaicin defends the pepper against fungus and microbes and stuff like that. But the reason that humans find spicy food spicy is so damn interesting. As I said earlier, spiciness isn't a taste. And the reason that spicy food burns so badly, or so good if you're into it, is actually a complete anatomical mystery. Because the cells that detect capsaicin aren't cells that are made for that at all. But they bind to capsaicin by complete accident. Their actual purpose is thermoreception, or the detection of heat.
So chilies hit the cells that are meant to detect heat, and you kind of think they're on fire or something?
Yeah, exactly. So we have these cells called VOR1 cells all over our body. We have them in our mouth, in our nose, all over our skin. And the purpose of them is to detect heat.
Okay.
And when we eat spicy food, we trigger the same reaction in our brain as when we're getting burnt. And that pain that we feel on spicy food is the reason why you can feel spice on your skin or in your mouth or in your nose.
Wow.
The pain is a side effect of a confused neuroreceptor thinking we're being set on fire.
That's so insane.
Yeah, it's pretty bonkers, isn't it?
That's mad.
So yeah, it's just literally your brain thinks that somebody is burning you, or you're burning yourself, or you've just...
I suppose that's why... Is that why typically you want to drink a liquid?
Yeah, you drink a liquid, or that you sweat is a big one.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Okay, so just to recap. Mm-hmm. Spicy foods are linked to lowering blood pressure and digestion.
Yeah.
But people also eat them because they're into the pain, because pain can be pleasurable sometimes.
Rawr.
And then spiciness isn't actually a taste, but in fact a compound called capsaicin, which makes food spicy and is measured in Scovilles?
That's it, capsaicin.
Capsaicin.
It's a weird word to say, capsaicin.
Capsaicin.
I was like, capsaicin?
and the reason that it tastes spicy is that the capsaicin binds the cells in your mouth are on your body that are there to detect heat, and that the pain you feel is actually your body thinking it's literally on fire, and that's why you sweat and instinctively, as I said, choke water.
Yeah, that's why spicy food is spicy.
Any spice facts to end the episode?
I have a few that are interesting.
Okay.
This one actually is really cool. Only mammals are receptive to capsaicin in feeling of spice.
No way! So birds and reptiles are okay.
Yeah, and actually when you look at the seeds and peppers, you know how like the seeds and chilies are almost a little bit oily?
Yeah.
The main way that they sow their seeds is that they, because they're so bright in colour, birds eat them and then poo out the seeds all over the place.
Wow!
Yeah, but
that's incredible.
The difference between a bird and a human is that the birds don't suffer from pooping out chilies.
Any more?
Yeah, this one is actually pretty scary. Certain peppers have such a high concentration of capsaicin that they can burn through latex gloves.
What?
Mm-hmm. The hottest peppers in the world, when they're being lab tested, were found to be able to burn through latex.
And people eat them.
Yeah, and there have even been reported incidents of people temporarily losing their hearing, sight, or consciousness after eating things that are particularly picante. There's even been a couple of deaths that are not 100% linked to spicy food, but... Definitely.
Oh my God.
Definitely linked to spicy food.
I think I'll just stick to my nice, non-damaging, possibly deathly foods, to be honest.
Do you know what? I'm actually craving a curry after all of this.
In the show with Tazimarcus, 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 in the show with Tazimarcus.
Well, there you have it.
There you have it.
I kind of just feel the need to sing loads of Spice Girl songs. If you want to be my lover,
gotta get with my friends.
What's another one?
I'll tell you what I want,
what I really, really want.
I'll tell me what you want,
what you really, really want. I want to really, really want to.
Man, the 90s were a mad time.
A mad time. What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. You were barely alive, child.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. If you enjoyed it, then good news, there is a whole bank of episodes of really, really interesting questions and even more interesting answers. There's over 60 episodes now, which is mad, for you to binge listen to. So have a listen and let us know what you think.
If you have a question that you'd like us to answer on an episode of In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, it couldn't be easier to let us know. You can get us on Facebook, just search for In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, or Twitter or Instagram at In the Shower Pod.
If you want to send us an email, you can get us at intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com. And please just message and say hello. This week we received, I think, 4 or 5 pictures of dogs.
5 pictures of dogs from all around the world. We got a dog from Sweden. We got a cat from Australia. We got lots and lots and lots of dog pictures. I got a few more on my own Instagram as well.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to just send us a message and say hello and tell us that you're listening, that would really, really, really make our week. So please do that.
If you like what we do and you want to help us grow In the Shower, we'd really appreciate if you could spread the word about what we do. Podcasts spread through word of mouth, and even telling a friend or two or posting it online would make a huge difference to us. So thank you.
A few more thank yous to end the episode.
Lots of thank yous.
First off, thank you so much to Flo Robinson for our cover art.
Thank you to Alan and Paddy and all the crew in the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Thanks so much, Dave Gertzman, for our theme music.
And finally, thank you, the listener, for being a wonderful, wonderful person who likes spending time with these two Irish messers in their ears.
You're really, 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 really great. And you're going to do great today and you're going to do great this week. You spread joy in the world.
And you smell good and you look good and your bum looks good and you deserve that promotion in work.
Next week's question.
Next week's question is one that we've been sent in, I counted, 23 times.
23 times.
There's a lot of discussion about this at the moment. And to be honest, I'm kind of nervous about researching this just in case I fall down the conspiracy hole myself.
What is next week's question?
Is the Earth flat?
That episode is going to be out next Monday in time for your morning shower. But in the meantime, keep scrubbing.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus. 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 In the shower with Taz and Marcus.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Time has come, dear. I'll no longer be here by your side. By your side. Only you can hear me singing through the night. Leave me when I tell you.
Well, that wraps up the show. Thank you for listening to the Wednesday Morning After. Keep listening to CKUT.
think about no trouble.
Dit 17 novembre 2021, c'est l'émission de Sleepy King.